Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy. And Sherry Edwards is almost back from being on tour. It's kind of like the Rolling Stones, just out there doing the tour. But she'll be back with us this week. Yeah, with, I bet, some zesty reports from what's going on out there in the world. Oof. Before we get to our great guest, Lauren Miller, talking about stress, not that anybody has stress. Why would you have stress? Everything's just casual and easy. First, I want to remind people that this is another one of those shows where when we talk to Lauren, and I read a bunch of her material, that, you know, she's had some real serious stresses in her life and was interested in the subject and then really dove deeply into it. About stress reduction and, you know, how to cope in a positive way. Not in a, oh, I'm coping, but in a really positive way. This is one of those shows you're going to hear again or send to your friends. And the show will be about 10 minutes after we end the cast. You can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and from there, click on the blog talk player tab. And the player will appear, and that will have the last five shows, and you'll be able to listen to it there. And or I believe if you click on that link on that player, it'll take you to the actual Blog Talk Radio page, which has the show notes and all the links to Lauren's various articles. A really great article called Six Mind Hacks That Keep Stress in Check. Really? That's a good article. And you can also go to either iTunes or any of your podcast aggregators, podcast app, and search for Sherry Edwards and find any of our now over 550 shows, available there. And Stitcher is a great app because you can easily, you can use it anywhere. You can use it in your computer. You can use it on any platform phone. And you'll be able to listen to it and also then be able to send it on to friends. Or you find a section to go, oh, you really want to listen to this, and send it out. It really works really well that way. So I do have one announcement. And this, actually, Sherry emailed me this from the road. And I'll put this in the show notes and in the chat. The Environmental Working Group put up a page with all of the data from Tap Water Database. Since 2010, water utilities testing has found pollutants in America's tap water. And according to the EWG drinking water quality analysis of 30 million state water records. So you put in your zip code like I did, and you find out that, wow, there are 10 things here that really shouldn't be. So that's, you know, and what the levels are. It really drills down so you can get a lot of information. Maybe not the best information in terms of, wow, that's great. But, yeah, I checked my water. I live in a Northern California in wine country. So I was not surprised to find we had very high nitrogen levels, nitrates in our water sources here. But it's a really good way to, you know, just see what's going on in your water based on the data they're gathering. Because so that means that there are some things that I suspect are missing in the tests. But that's kind of a separate show. So let's get to Lauren. Lauren E. Miller is a renowned international speaker and trainer. Far beyond a momentary uplift, those who hear Lauren's dynamic message experience lasting positive change. Lauren E. Miller is a stress relief, personal excellent educator, founder, and managing partner of Grab and Go Stress Solutions, international award-winning author, speaker, and trainer. With 20 years of volunteer work in adult and youth ministry, Lauren is an active participant with Compassion International and has sponsored several children for over a decade. Is a conqueror of two of life's top stressors at the same time, advanced cancer and divorce, Lauren is grateful for the gift of each new day. Residing in Colorado, Lauren enjoys living new life to the fullest with her husband and three children, along with dancing, fly fishing, camping, hiking, Colorado sunsets, and laughter. Lauren joins us to talk about her book, 5 Minutes to Stress Relief, and how to release your attachment to other people's opinions and reactions. Right out of the gate, Lauren, I want to ask you How do you feel stress affects the immune system? And I know this will lead to a much bigger conversation, but it's such a thing. We have so much stress currently in this time, post-election time, and everything else. What does your life and research show about stress affecting the immune system?
Well, it's huge. And obviously, as an advanced cancer conqueror, it's something that I spend a lot of time and attention on in my own life, because one of the things that pops up initially when you say that is one of my favorite statements that I'll often use when I'm speaking, but also say to myself, is 1 minute of laughter boosts the immune system for 24 hours. 1 minute of anger lowers it for four. So our attitude actually puts into motion the compromising of high, because stress is just perception. It's everything is objective until we label something as a threat. And as soon as we label something as a threat, then what starts to happen behind the scenes is referred to as the HPA axis, which is basically the hypothalamus calls it the pituitary, calls up the adrenal team and says, hey, we're under attack, batten down the hatches. So when that happens, rather than all the energy going to high functioning within our organs, including our immune system, the blood is pushed into the limbs. And so the interior workings of the body, including the immune system, become highly compromised. I like metaphors, and one of the metaphors that I'll often have in my own life and share with my clients is that of a hose. So we're created to flow in life. And this is why flexibility, non-attachment, generous assumptions, stepping away from judgments of self and others is so important to keep the flow of life going. It's not meant to be defined. It's meant to be experienced. When we label something as a threat, as I mentioned, it's like punching a hole in your hose. So it's an energy leak. And what happens when there's an energy leak? There is a compromise in high functioning of our organs, the immune system. It's like the iCloud. You know, what is that? What is it? What does that do? That protects us. You know, in my own situation, we all have cancer cells every day. It's the immune system, the high functioning of the immune system that protects us from the cancer cells taking over. When the immune system is compromised over time, and stress is one of the huge, huge factors, walks hand in hand with inflammation, it's like a fish swimming through jello. Life becomes very thick, and therefore our immunity becomes extremely compromised from the outside in. Our immunity to the ability to remember we're not the opinions of other people. Our immunity to the ability to be able to not give outside circumstance more power than our ability to move through something successfully. So it truly is a matter of choice, of perspective. That's where it starts. This is why I love the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton in epigenetics, and that could be an entirely different program. But truly, the continuation of Einstein's work is the field directly affects the particle. The immune system is directly compromised by exterior pressure, similar to scuba diving. I love to scuba dive, and if I were to take a can down that's not pressurized, it would crush at a certain level. And this is our invitation to live life from the inside out versus the outside in. It makes all the difference to our ability to fight off disease, dis-ease within the body.
In your research, this is sort of a sideways question. In nature, animals shake off a fear or an adrenaline dump. Like, like, you know, we've all seen dogs, and people get concerned the first time they see a dog do that thing where they've had a panic event or some kind of a, you know, jump, and then they lay down, and then they sit and they shake, literally shake for a minute. And that's really their system dumping that stressor off, just literally like, okay, I'm shaking it off. That's why.
Absolutely. There's a song about that.
Okay. That's right. That song about that. So do you think there was a point? Well, actually, this is a reverse question. Did we used to do that when we were more lizard mind, and then somewhere we got too smart and we stopped doing that?
You know, it's interesting. I think we have a longing to continue to do that. And that's why that song was so popular, because people long to be able to shake things off and not take things personally. Because that's the archway through which we maintain inner peace. Inner peace is our natural state of being when we have the ability to shake it off. And we utilize that ability. You look at children, and you look at, you know, like you said, in nature, people shake off tension. There's actually a practice that is used in Africa and other areas in the world. It's called shaking therapy. And it's, you know, we'll call it more rebounding here in America, more refined term. I'm a fan of the full-blown shaking therapy, because it literally allows the system to reboot itself. Because what happens, the statement, a deer in the headlights, it's actually comes from exactly what's happening in the brain. Because when somebody is shocked, or something, life doesn't show up the way you expected it to, as was my case when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer a week before my final divorce court date. I didn't think I signed up for that class. And so I had the stress response, which is the deer in the headlights. The eyes get really big. There's tension in the frontal cortex. The frontal cortex, actually, that's responsible for solution-based thinking, executive thinking, shrinks, pushes blood back to the back part of the brain, as I mentioned, to be able to kick in the primal response. The quickest way to respond to that, because it's in the body, is through the body. So stress is the power we give to outside circumstances to define our worth, value, and our capability. The body responds accordingly, depending on our labels that we choose. Fear is just is false evidence appearing real, as some people have used that quick statement. But the inability to remember that you have the ability to overcome in the eye of the storm. Failure is a labor that we place on an undesirable outcome, but we allow it to define our worth and our value. And then the interior ship starts to sink, our strategies, habits, impulses, and our psychological stability. We begin to sink very, very quickly. So it's essential to respond to the freeze, the deer in the headlights, with a body response, because the body's stuck. So just how many times has something been stuck? And so what do? You shake it. You shake it, you bang it, just get some movement going in the hopes of rebooting it, right? I've done that with my computer before, or tap it a little bit harder. And it's the same is true for the body. So it's shaking off, literally shaking off. I've done this many, many times. I remember one time something had spun me, and I was in the deer in the headlights and ruminating, which is what cows do. You know, you swallow something, you spit it back up, you chew on it, you swallow it again, spit it back up, and chew on it. That's the definition of rumination. We do that with our thoughts, and it paralyzes our ability to move forward in a positive direction. And so as quickly as possible, dropping back into the body and beginning to shake by starting to stomp your feet on the floor and then shaking rapidly your legs and then your torso and then your hands. And I like to add the visual of a duck. I grew up in Long Island and grew up on the water. And I remember the duck and the geese would come in and they'd swim and come out of the water and shake off the beads of water. So whatever it is that's stressing you, it's clinging to you. Just imagine it clinging to you. And then as you shake off your body and use your voice too to create a vibration inside to shake off the negative rumination, it works very, very quickly. I remember doing this very audibly. As you can probably imagine, I'm very, very physical, and I use a lot of auditory expressions when I'm shaking things off. And I was shaking something off, and it was in the summertime. My door was open, and the UPS guy came, and he witnessed this shaking off experience. And then all of a sudden, I was done, and I'm shaking things off. And I heard him knock, and he was peering in. He said, "Excuse me." And I think I kind of shook up his world a little bit just from witnessing me shaking it off. But yes, we have the ability to shake things off. It is, the choice is ours, and stress hits the body, so we have to respond to the body to get it unstuck. We get stuck, we got to get it unstuck.
And you have one of your items in the book the 5 minutes to stress relief. I'm not sure if it was in the book. I've read so much about you and listened to a bunch of your information on YouTube and on your site that you have this wonderful, the bouncing rebound, what you're calling rebounding morning routine. Can you talk to us about that? And I'd like to tie it in with the election. Wow. There's some strength. Yeah. So,
well,
something about that, please.
Yeah, exactly. You know, accepting what is and releasing what isn't, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, and that's the biggest thing. It's when life doesn't show up the way we want it to show up. We ignite that very easily can ignite the primal brain, which is the very small part of the brain that keeps us in the animal planet zone. Things go animal planet very quickly when life doesn't show up the way we want it to show up. So setting our body and addressing our body first and foremost, I do a lot of things in the morning, and I don't have the book in front of me in terms of the exact, I believe I know the technique you're talking about because I do it quite a bit, but
right,
grounding
on the balls of your feet. I'm a big fan of
bouncing on the balls of your feet and the rebounding. It gets the energy going in the morning. The other thing, to do is to basically, as if you're holding half a grapefruit while you're bouncing, on the balls of your feet and quickly, briskly tap up the center of your body. And again, you're jump starting your earth suit. You were jump starting your body into a higher energy field. You know, quantum physically speaking, we're blessed with the human energy field. The electromagnetic encephalogram allows us to see that energy field. And when we're hit with something that's threatening, it becomes flatlined. So as much as possible, bouncing on the balls of the feet and tapping the body up the center of the body as if you're holding half a grapefruit helps to relieve that freeze that happens. And then the other thing, and this is a Peruvian technique that I'll kind of throw in when you feel threatened or when life doesn't show up, like the election. There's people that are happy and people that aren't happy. With every election, there's people that are happy and people, it's like a football game, right? Your team wins, the other team doesn't. What you do with that makes all the difference in the outcome of returning to a place of empowerment and peace. And that's an individual choice. And if there's enough individuals that make that choice, nothing thrives in a state of war. I remember thinking this when I went through the cancer, because I was so angry that my body had betrayed me. I was a second-degree black belt. I recently won a medal in the Colorado State Championship. And so I felt so strong and so powerful. And yet I was dying. And so that's something you can compare it to the election. So you think, oh, you know, this is something that I'm relying on where I think I'm going to win. Whoops, I didn't. My team didn't win. I didn't get come that I wanted. In this situation. And the same was true when my body betrayed me, when I was going through the experience of advanced cancer, after winning a medal in World Taekwondo Federation, Colorado State Championship, it didn't make sense to me. And so our greatest response that honors our desire for peace comes when we practice. And I literally just wrote a blog on this on my website on self-control. The greatest leaders have mastered impulse control, the ability to delay gratification, and as well as applying or stepping into what's referred to as appreciative inquiry, which involves three phases. It's asking, inquiring, listening first to understand versus listening to promote your opinion. And then the second phase is asking questions and then sharing your perspective from a place of non-judgment and honoring your perspective. Then the third step, which I think is too often overlooked, is the phase of reflecting on the exchange. And this is something that can be practiced within your earth suit, your mind, before you can give it out, because I cannot accept your perspective or your choice of perspectives unless I'm fully allowing myself to accept mine. And it's really an interior game of self-control. Rather than trying to get you to think like me, I'm able to accept and appreciate you for who you are and agree to honor disagreement for the sake of honoring you as a human being, having different opinions, different thoughts, voted differently. What you can apply this to any difference in that comes up in dialogue and conversation with people. But the truth of the conflict is one that requires high noticing and reflection, making positive and generous assumptions toward yourself and the person you're talking to. In this case, in the midst of the election, you see a lot of behavior that is basically, I refer to it as lights off, below the line behavior that comes when you don't get your way, right? Now, what we do as human beings is we're masterful. It's like we have the reticular activating system located in the brainstem. And what it does is it's masterful at hunting and gathering information that supports your focus. And then we think that our stance is our identity, or our struggle is our identity. And when that happens, we become unconscious. We throw ourselves into this gray zone of reactive behavior. And getting back to authentic leadership and influential leadership, it's people that have mastered impulse control, the ability to expand the gap between what happens outside of you and your choice of response to it. Spirit, mind, emotions, body. So when you begin your day in spirit, taking time to pray, to meditate, to remember God gave you the gift of a new day of life. What are you committed to? Who are you committed to in terms of within yourself? One of the activities I'll invite my clients to do is to think of three adjectives that describe the person you're committed to being today or this week. Write those down, put them on a sticky note, and put them by your computer as a touchstone. So when you turn into or lean into the animal planet response, reactive behavior, you can remember, how does my choice of response support the person I'm committed to being? If I'm committed to being a compassionate human being this week, which is one of my words, then how does this behavior support the person I'm committed to being? Being kind and loving and compassionate and forgiving because of who I am, not because of how you're responding to me. It's a very powerful reflection that, and when we're in reactive behavior, we don't take the time to do that. So it's bookending your day, and then every 90 minutes reflecting on what your intention was for that day. My intention is to grow in my ability to be compassionate this week, to be faith-filled when things don't turn out the way I want them to trust that God has a bigger plan, that it's not all about me and my purposes. I remember one time in prayer, just this realization, what? It's not all about me? Because when we think it is, that's when the animal planet steps in, and we will use ugly behavior, stonewalling, ugly talk or defensive behavior, or stonewalling. Those are all below the line behaviors that come from wanting or needing life to turn out a certain way in order to feel safe. When we release our need for specific outcomes in order to feel safe, confident, and occupy the space of being a positive influencer in this world, when we release the need for certain outcomes to be able to support that space, then freedom steps on our screensaver. Mm-hmm. The freedom, and then we can give that to those people around us. So that shaking therapy that you mentioned is, with bouncing on the balls of your feet, tapping up the center of your body, and then focusing on the three words of the person you're committed to being, sets that tone and asking for favor and grace. Dear God, grant me the grace to be able to occupy this space because this is who I want to be. And if this is my last day on earth, this is how I want people to remember me. This is how I want to transition in this space, not below the line, not in ugly behavior, defensive talk, or stonewalling, or casting stones. That's why Jesus was masterful when he said, he is without sin, cast the first stone. It was the most masterful statement to turn people back to the third phase of appreciative inquiry, reflection. when we become our struggle, when we become our stance, and we override our commitment to high character living for the sake of our stance, then we step into war. And ugly behavior evokes ugly behavior. Love evokes love.
Yeah.
It takes a lot more kind to be, a lot more strength to be kind than it does to be cruel, because we're fighting against the flesh that's weak. Yeah. Very weak.
I have a comment and then a question. I spend a lot of time observing nature because I like nature. Nature is real.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Nature doesn't have a lot of agenda other than I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think nature at some point could get really annoyed and find out that we might be the problem. But that's a separate show. That nature, you know, I've spent a lot of time studying wolves and packs in general. And in
wolves, I love wolves. I love the pack mentality.
Wolves would not tolerate stonewalling.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would cause them to fail as a pack. And it's all about the pack. We're together. We're
right
here. You know, when wolves go marching in the forest, not running so much, because wolves like to stop and play every 30 minutes. They really understand the importance of play. And they let the weak or the elders lead because they want them to keep the pace.
Mm.
And so they would not allow stonewalling. They would think that you were out of your mind and should wander off by yourself, because stonewalling is not getting us anywhere. We can't just sit and be stuck because you've got a thing. And I don't mean a wound. I mean like a mental attitude about something. So wolves, you know, they play every 30 minutes and they really, you know, they're a great role model.
Absolutely.
But that's not my question.
Absolutely.
I make that observation. I'm a big fan of, you know.
No, I love that observation. That's a very poignant observation, and one that invites reflection, truly.
Yeah.
Particularly with what we're seeing unfold today.
Yeah.
What is our agenda? And have we become our perspective and our stance or the opinions of someone else or whatever it is, anything that any human being does or says that triggers something within ourselves has nothing to do with who they are or what they're doing. It has to do with our choice of response to it, or what pain body, as Eckhart Tolle so brilliantly allowed to come through him, what pain body has gone from dormant to live that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about, because I think this is, I have a separate question, but I have to ask this. About, you really talk about the power of words, that words have energy.
Mm.
And this so goes, in my thinking, this so goes with choosing your perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The powers of words, the words, you know, what we say, I mean, this is what I really like about Sherry's work and Sound Health Options' work with bioacoustics. It's about words. Mm. Now, when Sherry's measuring it or her software is measuring it, it takes it and converts it into data so that we can actually see it in not only waveforms, but then in numerical representation that then we can take and see if there's an imbalance that we need to work on, talking about a health issue or even a mental state.
Mm.
So you really talk to us about the power of words and how those words really so affect our, what perceptions we're choosing by how we speak about them or how we think about them. That echo chamber that happens, well, I'm speaking from personal experience. I tend to have an echo chambery mind. So I'm really, you know, the power of words. When we keep saying we're a bad, you know, you don't keep telling the dog it's a bad dog, because at some point it's looking at you going, what? Okay.
Exactly.
I did something wrong. I was a bad dog, but I'm not a bad dog. I did.
Let it go.
Okay.
Yep.
Give it up, buddy.
Don't define me or confine me.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's a very powerful invitation for reflection for all of us. Too often, you know, perhaps, you know, you've had the statement in your mind, unless it's kind, necessary, or whatever the third one is, don't say it at all. So there's that portion of swallowing our truth, but there's also the invitation of speaking the truth in love to ourselves. Again, love wins. It's one of the highest frequencies amongst humility and empathy that we could choose to step in and occupy as human beings. simply because it literally changes the brain waves in the person that we offer it to. And we are literally our worst enemy when it comes to sabotaging the goodness that desires to, that God has put within our hearts to flow through us for, to light up the world. We sabotage it between our two ears because of our false beliefs, or what the power we've given through words spoken to us, and our power that we've given to those words to define who we are. There are two statements that came to my awareness when I was going through the experience of advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. And it was an invitation, I truly believe. It was the Holy Spirit pulling me back into what my soul always knows, that I'm not my circumstance. And so to be very, very diligent in my abilities to align my words with the highest version of who I was created to be. And simply put, they are high noticing around the phrase "I have" or "I am." And rather than saying "I have cancer," I quickly reframe that to say, "I don't have cancer. Cancer doesn't have me. I am moving through this experience and asking my body, what do you need to restore?" So as quickly as possible, questions open up the mind very, very quickly to solution. And what the problem with our sense of lack of inner peace comes when we stop asking questions. A toddler will ask over 100 questions a day or more. 100 questions. Teach me something. What? How do I do this? What could I do moving through this? So once we make conclusion statements or universal quantifying statements like never, always, nothing, nothing ever works out for me. I'm always tired. I don't have anything. So universal quantifier statements keep us stuck, as well as modal operators of necessity. I have to do this. I need to do this. Really? Why? Why do you have to do that? What is so important about doing that when you're pushed to over your skis? Why do you have to do that? What is it about doing that that is giving you something you already have? Your soul already always knows that you have, that you're forgetting. So you're pushing your body to the point of disease. And the I am statement, I am sick, I am overwhelmed, I am tired, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed. Embarrassed is such a self-focused human experience. We can do a whole show on embarrassment. But anytime that whatever we put after the words I am sick, we give it power to define our identity. Again, I'm not my struggle, I'm not my sickness. But our bodies respond when we flip things into the positive. I am a child of the living God. There's nothing I can't do today. I am capable. I've gone through difficult times before. I could do it again. I am a solution finder. I'm throwing these out. I'm not really a huge fan of just positive mantras, because the body knows better, right? So throwing out of a statement of a mantra of "I am successful," but yet you don't have the ability to pay your water bill. Your body knows that. So we have to use our words to align with our truth, speak the truth in love, because that's how we accept who we are. It's like any 12-step program of healing. The first step requires inner reflection. What's my truth? All right. I am going through an experience that is evoking feelings of overwhelm and fear. What could I remember in this moment to help me take a positive action step forward towards solution? So our conversation, our inner conversation with our words change. And I'll often say, what is the intonation that we use with ourselves? Because it's not just the words, it's the intonation, the reflection. Is it accusatory? Is it the voice of a parent or a teacher that accused you or cast their spell, as Miguel Ruiz brilliantly says in the Four Agreements? Don't allow somebody's spell to become yours. So you stand outside of circumstance. You pray for the grace to remember what the soul always knows. You're always safe. All things are possible. It's flipping the mind on to be able to tune into the possibility using your words to set you free, not to confine you. How do we do that? Through questioning. Ask questions. Questions unleash the human potential. Conclusions and assumptions lock it up and shut it down. So when we become curious and fascinated, what could I learn from this? What could I remember about myself to help me to move through the situation that I am labeling? I'm labeling it. I own it as a problem. As Eckhart Tolle says, there's no problems. There's just situations that require attention for solution. So let's ask questions. Let's ask questions. We did when we were younger. Okay, I want to ride this bike. I want to ride this bike. So rather than saying, I can't ride a bike, even if it spills out of your mouth, I can't do this, just simply add a tail ender, yet. Or up until now. Because then that flips the mind to lights on, up until now. Because now is the time that I will give myself permission by God's grace to tune into solution so that I can learn easily, naturally, consistently.
Along those lines, would you talk a bit about how stress is created when we lie or exaggerate and when our words don't align with our truth? How that causes
absolutely
misdirection and disease?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a wonderful invitation, again, for reflection. I will often say I'm a recovered liar simply because I grew up lying as a teenager. I'm going to Bobby's house. No, I'm not. I'm really going to this house and I'm doing this. I'm not really doing that. Why do we lie? It's really caused me to do a lot of inner reflection. Why do people lie? And I'll observe it too in coaching situations. Well, I didn't really tell the truth. Well, how does that feel inside? What do you want to be able to do? I want to be able to speak my truth without the fear of what people will think or how they will respond. Well, there's the answer. That's why people lie. One of the big reasons why we do lie or twist the truth comes from our desire to be seen in a positive light. So a very powerful prayer is, Dear God, help me not to care if I'm liked. Protect me from compliments and complaints so that my heart can stay grounded in the mission through which it beats. Because as soon as we give power away to someone's response, then we compromise our own truth. And again, it's the hose. And it's a huge, huge punctured hole in the force of our identity and the truth of who we're created to be each time that we compromise the truth. So again, it's a question. When you lie or twist the truth or hold back information, simply asking the question, why? Why am I doing this? What purpose? What am I afraid of? Because people will lie again because of the fear of a negative reaction or that they won't get what they want. And that's, again, an adjustment to reflect upon selfish ambition and vain conceits. Or we won't be able to achieve something that our ego says we need in order to be successful or enough. Again, it's an energy leak in our identity, which the soul doesn't play on that playground. The soul always knows itself to be enough. At St. Teresa of Avila, the interior castle, she spoke about this, that those who have God find they lack nothing. They don't question whether or not their space is enough to be honest and transparent. Vulnerability is the quickest way to link hearts. And yet we will twist, distort, and lie because we are afraid that people perhaps might see our weaknesses. One invitation of practice would be when you do twist the truth, practice just for the sake of Earth School experience of letting go of your need to show up a certain way in order to feel that you are enough. And to be able to be vulnerable in catching yourself. You know, when I talked to you earlier, I wasn't being completely honest. Watch the shifts. Observe the shifts that happen when you do that kind of interior reflection. Because it's an opportunity to adjust and to step into a space of truth that ends up lightening your load as you're walking through Earth School, where things don't always turn out the way you want them to. So rather than manipulating variables by lying or distorting the truth and decreasing your effectiveness as an authentic human being and leader in this world, you make the decision to increase your confidence in your ability to handle any response that perhaps, or rejection or pushback you might get as you speak your truth. Practice that, because that creates a powerful force. And don't be afraid. This is the other invitation. Step into confidence in your ability to seek collaborative solutions in the midst of differencing opinions. It's okay. It's okay if somebody doesn't agree with you. Learn from it. Adjust. Extend a hand of willingness to accept the person all in the midst of differencing of opinion. As you do that, you will increase your confidence to speak your truth in love without an edgy, defensive, or stonewalling or angry intonation. Anger is just fear. These people, you know, when you see people in any situation that are angry, really angry, the first question is, what are you afraid of? Get to your fears. What are you really afraid of? We used to fight on the playground for different things. I'm afraid I'm not going to get this or that. Well, then that's awesome invitation for reflection. What about being okay if you don't get that and still choosing to show up in the highest version of who you're committed to being, even if you didn't get what you wanted? See what happens and how that transforms, because it is a ripple effect. It's a domino effect. God is the best multi-level marketer I know when it comes to the area of love, because he instills within our hearts the desire to express what the soul always knows. When we lean into that rather than into ego, edging God in versus out, then we're able to see lives, multitudes transformed instantly, because we all want it, because that's freedom.
Well, and I also feel that anytime that thing you're talking about, stepping into fear and speaking your truth, that there's part of that, I can't quite get this in nature. I was trying to make some sort of, you know, metaphor to nature, but I can't quite get it, because animals don't talk because they're smart enough to know that talking is kind of overrated, says the man speaking into a microphone. That anytime you have that kind of deeply, you know, in your body, truthful speaking communication, it to me feels like it's more heartfelt. And I don't mean in a ooey gooey, you know, warm and cuddly way. I just mean you're speaking, you know, left from that defensive brain aggressive position to like, this is actually a heartfelt thing that I'm doing. And whether the person on the other side of that conversation even knows it or not, they feel that. So they get that this is a more true, heartfelt conversation, even if that those phrases are not in their context yet. There's that. And when you have that communication with people, that really makes, you know, it allows our body to have more effect or reception to it, because it's not aggressively asserting into their space. And the cells,
absolutely.
Oh, wow, this isn't a threat. I can actually take this in. Cool.
Absolutely. And then, and again, that's the invitation to be like a child, as Jesus mentioned. Be like a child, because a child is always curious and leans into vulnerability. That's why it stops people in their tracks. Because a child in vulnerability, people instantly say, ah, that's right. That's what that feels like. I forgot. And whatever we forget, and we get that spark of remembrance, we can lean into it a little deeper. And then that becomes our expression and our ability to have that heartfelt existence. As many people have said, the 14 inches between your head and your heart is the greatest journey you'll ever take. Why? Because it brings you back to what you get to take with you beyond the pine box. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And the big one that allows all of those to take place is self-control, the ability for impulse control, delayed gratification, perhaps for the sake of another person's success. Ah, that's a huge invitation there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be okay when other people around you succeed over you? That's the biggest Earth School class. If you could pass that, you are free. You are free. And that happens when you're facing death, I can assure you, as I faced mine.
Yeah.
I'm very competitive, very competitive. And so that was a piece that really came into my heart and the desire to overcome that. Because I am truly free when I can truly, truly rejoice in another person's success over mine. Simply because I rejoice with those who rejoice.
Right.
And more joy evokes more joy.
Right.
Every time.
Every time. And that's another thing you do. I'm surprised to see that we're coming up on the hour. But that's another thing that you speak of and I think is really worth addressing. In our conversation, we've had humor. And in most of our conversations, I have either in doing, you know, doing interviews with people or in life, there's always humor because I can't help it because I'm talking about sort of spooky conversations sometimes from radiation to like surgery. I mean, there has to be, I had my own circumstances where I was in a healthcare facility for a year and had 30 hours of surgeries. So people that would come and visit me would be like, how are you so chipper? And I'm not a happy face guy. It's just that I always, even in the darkest of times, there's humor somewhere in there. And that is such a shifting agent. That is such an agent, a positive agent of change. Just even if sometimes when I'm in a contentious conversation with somebody, and let's say talking about something environmental, acting as if climate change really is happening. That I even that I have to have like there has to be a humorous tone to it because it breaks a charge. It even in conversation.
Very well said. Very well said.
And even
it breaks
with
a
myself,
charge.
You know, even with myself, I sometimes have to like laugh at myself, like, oh, give it up. just grief. You know, stop chewing on that bone. You know, just because it's a thing. It's a powerful tool to be able to have that laughter. And you're familiar, I'm certain you're familiar with Norman Cousins' research about laughter is the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I know from reading your material that you talk about laughter. It's such a powerful thing. And I don't mean you have to be a jokester, but you just have to be able to step back and go, wait, there's humor here. Let's try that. You know, I think
absolutely.
It's a great thing to have in your quiver.
Oh, very well said. Beautifully said. To have in your quiver. That's definitely... definitely an incredible invitation right there. It's so powerful. You know, on my website, I'll have a picture that pops up, you know, to jump on my weekly stress relief tip. But on the picture, my hair is like all over the place. And I just says, lighten up, let go and live. I was on my knees this morning, and this has been a prayer I've had since college. Dear God, grant me a spirit of joy and laughter. Because I know when I release my grip on how I want life to turn out, then I can experience the true, true freedom and joy and laughter that I seek. Because you can't be depressed and grateful at the same time. I remember trying this after all of the surgeries and double mastectomy and setbacks in my body. I remember thinking, okay, let's focus on what is working out here. And I remember I listened to the comedy station. There's a really clean comedy station that I just love, and I will be hysterically laughing. The cool thing about laughter is it's like your smile. Even if it's fake, it works. The body responds. You get to the immune system, you get the low blood pressure, you get the endorphins, you get the same body boost, even if it's fake. And I remember when I was driving every day for 6 weeks to radiation, practicing this, just ha-ha, hee-hee, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, as I was driving. And all of a sudden, I'd start cracking myself up just because... it sounded so silly. And the laughter instantly flipped it. So it's a grace I pray for daily because I know that if I have the gift of laughter, then that means that I'm practicing non-attachment. And attachment is an emotional state of clinging. Not a lot of laughter and clinging due to the belief that without something or person or outcome, I can't be happy, which is simply a falsehood that the soul knows and exists outside of. I truly believe that Jesus had an incredible sense of humor when he walked the earth, simply because of all the children that gathered. But there are times when I'll hear these sound bites. I think God has an amazing sense of humor. I was ruminating on something that somebody didn't say or give me accolades of something I wanted to be praised for. And I was ruminating on this about a year ago and working myself up. And all of a sudden, the voice came through and said, "Hey, excuse me, you're not here to be liked. You're here to grow in the ability to spread joy and love to yourself, within yourself, around yourself, and to everyone that crosses your path." As soon as I have an attachment to wanting a certain response, again, laughter diminishes when there's an attachment on the stage. Attachment is so huge, there's no room for laughter in the play of life. But as soon as laughter steps out, then the attachment disappears. They can't share the same stage. They can't share the same mental stage in life. And so it's the ability, dear God, grant me the ability of to be able to laugh throughout my day today and see the humor in life. I remember my daughter, when she saw me bald, I was crying and she caught me in my room crying. And she said, "Oh, Mommy," she was only 8. She said, "Don't cry. Your hair is going to grow back and it'll probably have some flowers like our grass, you know, and you'll have flowers and it'll grow out of your head." And, you know, I just started laughing. And there were so many moments like that where I just was so grateful for it. But I've even known colleagues that all they did was rent funny movies. And they stopped the cancer in its tracks simply because you boost your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And the immune system fights the cancer cells. So laughter is a daily practice of mine that I definitely pursue on a daily basis.
Yeah.
All the time. My family knows I'm always just laughing at myself or cracking myself up. Some of those stress relief techniques too in that book will make you laugh just doing them.
That's wonderful. And we're at that point where I want to ask you about, how do you like people to work with you? Where would you like people to get your information? Signing up for joining the journey on Stress Solution University, all of that part of like, do you work with people one-on-one? Do you do online webinars? That
I do right now. My work is pre-focused. I do take on one-on-one clients. I have a I definitely am open to that, and I think I'll always do that simply because I love to be a part of the aha resurrection of the parts of self that are forgotten along the way. So I believe I'll probably always do that. The one-on-one coaching, which is on my website, my main website. I've definitely become more involved in corporate training and wellness programs, as well as executive coaching, which I truly enjoy as well. And so that's another aspect. I do not have the Stress Solutions University. I decided to shift everything to one place, which is laurenemiller.com. And so the videos and information and blog and supportive materials are all there on my main website. Under the store tab on my main website, there's lots of options for personal excellence techniques and books, CDs. One of my favorites is the Levity product, light sound therapy product that I use every day myself. People ask me, "Well, what do you do every day for your stress?" And I'll do the Levity product every single day, morning and evening. It boosts my endorphins and serotonin 25% after each use. And then I do the 24-hour body support for stress, inflammation, and lack of sleep every single day, knowing that those are three fuels for disease. So those are my daily practices, along with prayer, and more prayer, and surrender, and stepping away from attachment.
Those are all good. That's stepping away from attachment. I was going to reference the current political state of whatever is going to be happening. The adventure continues.
I need to have my way, right? Yeah.
So
it's amazing. You know. I've had to actually do my own stress relief on that, because it's very easy too for people that judge people for acting a certain way. And when you judge people for acting a certain way too, as I was doing, I do no benefit to being a part of the solution for a greater good on earth. And so I've had to work through my own self-judgments of judging people for responding or reacting or hateful behavior or whatever it is, and had to kind of regroup myself so that I could be part of the solution with where I'm planted. But it's really easy. Like Jesus said, he was without sin, cast the first stone. And so the self-reflection piece is so huge now, as well as the commitment to who are you committed to being? Write those three words down. Because I can assure you of this, and this is the gift of deathbed wisdom. At the sunset of this life, no one has ever, ever said, I wished I had won more cases, or I wished I had won more conflicts or gotten my way. No one has ever said that at the sunset of their life. There has been regret of, I wish I would have loved better. Many times on the deathbed, I wish I would have loved better.
Mm-hmm.
And so think of how would you like to look back on you today, and how is your behavior supporting the person you want to be remembered for and the legacy you want to leave as you transition out of this earth school experience? Because really, we're just here to grow in our ability to love. Mother Teresa got this. She got this. She knew that she was here to help those who were destitute and to remain in love, even people that didn't believe what she believed. There were people that had very different beliefs, but she didn't withhold love because of it. And that's our invitation for victory here as a society.
Yeah, and lots of breathing.
Oh,
and that in the back
tons
of balls of
tons of breathing and tons of breathing and tons of tapping. I'll tell you, if any listener wants to learn, one of my favorite techniques is on my website under Meet Lauren. You just simply go to Press and Media, and when you scroll down, it's EFT in 10 minutes. That's a technique I do daily whenever I feel the flare up, and it works very, very quickly, very efficiently.
Right. I'm not sure that this is the same thing, but I think it's in the same family. I'm a very big fan of your bouncing on the balls of your feet, because I think most of the lymphatic stimulation, A, and B, it really does get the vitality going and moves, you know, the root of that bouncing really gets all those limbs pumping beautifully. And in coming
absolutely
up that mid-range upper, you know, tapping thing you do, that's just that 5 minutes every 90 minutes or every couple of hours is... Because it really
honor the BRAC, the basic rest activity cycle of the brain. It's on for 90, rest for 20. So pause. Step into the pause.
Pause. P-A-W-S. Go look at the pause.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There you go. Great invitation.
That was really wonderful, Lauren. Everybody, go out. Go to laurenmiller.com. Look at her videos. Look at her information.
There's actually an E in there.
Oh, sorry. That's
okay. If you don't have the E, it won't take you there. I've had that happen quite a bit.
The E. I should capitalize it. Lauren E. Miller, laurenmiller.com. And
no worries. No worries.
And get that, you know, the great thing about 5 minutes of stress relief is it comes in Kindle. It comes in paperback. I'm a big fan of ebooks because we don't have to add more papers to the, you know, world. And you have it with you. That's really cool. I love that part. So thank you so much. That was a great conversation. I knew it was going to be fun because
absolutely
fun in all this, for goodness.
Absolutely. This is just, you know, getting out there and just putting out the reminders to remind and invite, because, you know, we're all in this together, and anything that I would accuse you of doing, I've probably already done somewhere along the lines in my mind or in my actions. And so really our greatest place comes in that one verse that says you're here to encourage one another as long as it's called today. So that's our space, because that wins. Encouragement, love, compassion, empathy wins in the end. And that's what you think about.
That's a great bumper sticker. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. And thanks for your grace. Really appreciate your grace today. You know, with running late and your flexibility.
Thank you. You too. All right, everybody.
Take care.
Have a great rest of the week. Thank you. All right, everybody. That was a great show. It was really fun. Again, you can find that at blogged at soundhealthoptions.com. Click on the radio tab. Click on the Blog Talk Radio archive, and the show will be there in about 10 or 15 minutes. And have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.